In old school games, life is cheap. Don't be a dope. Bring your pole, oil, and rope, and try not to go down.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Down in a Heap podcast. I'm your host, Rob, podcasting to you live from beautiful Northeast Minneapolis. Today, my goal is to do a little run-through of the combat system that I'm thinking about testing, or at least testing in solo play like this, to replace the one in OSC BX D&D. And that's closely inspired by Chris McDowell's Into the Odd. You can go back a couple episodes and listen to me detail what I'm thinking about in the episode called Into the Box or something like that. I don't know, it's like two episodes ago. If you haven't listened to that, I'd listen to that before listening through this playthrough, because otherwise you might be confused. I have no idea if this will be something that's interesting, or it will be, or if it will be dry as a bone. But before we get to that, I've got a call from Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Take it away, Jason. In my MO, I forgot to say who did my theme song. That you were listening to the stylings of Cody Mazza from the No Save For You podcast, also one of the moderators over at the Audio Dungeon Discord. Thanks for that, Cody.
Hey, Rob. Jason here. Enjoyed the latest episode. Not to make a car talk, I had a, I don't know, it's over 30 years ago now. It was, I think, a 77 Plymouth Trail Duster. Might be right. Anyway, it was the Plymouth version of a Dodge Ram Charger, you know, truck. And it had a slant six in it, the 225 slant six. And I legitimately could open up the hood, get inside, sit on the wheel well to change the spark plugs on that sucker. It was so easy to work on that. There was so much room in the engine compartment of that thing. And nowadays, you can't barely check the oil in a new car, you know? I mean, you can check the oil, but changing spark plugs is crazy. Heck, my son had a car, we had to drop the bumper to change a light bulb. It's ridiculous. As far as the different game systems, oh yeah, there are tons of game systems out there. There was a conversion for AD&D for the arms law and all that. For at least for AD&D, I remember there was a conversion. I don't remember the details, though, to be honest. I'd have to go look that up. But now I look forward to hearing your playtests. I hope you share some of that stuff with us. Hopefully your group says yes and is willing to give this a shot, you know. And I think it's a worthy goal, trying to simplify and experiment. And I definitely don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I look forward to that, and I hope to talk to you soon. For Discord, I wish I had a good answer for you. Unless you saved a code to be able to get back in, I don't know. I know in the past I had locked out of one device, and luckily I was in my laptop and my phone, and I could get from one into the other because there was a code that popped up in one. But if I was totally locked out, I don't know if there is a way back in. I think you're just using a tablet only. I don't think you're sharing it among devices. So just making a new account might be the easiest way. You can get back to the Audio Discord through my podcast. There's a link to the ADD in there. So, and recreate from there. I know that sucks, but I'd love to hear you back on there. Anyhow, take care. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jason. So now I am on a new set of earbuds, and I have no idea how the recording is going to be with these on, so this will be something of a test. But I figured for this playthrough, it will be a lot easier if I have my hands free. It would be interesting. I should dig out my old Arms Law Claw Law. I think it's the original versions that Iron Crown Enterprises came out with, and use that to try and do some playthroughs too. It might be really interesting to see how that actually works with an adult mind.
mindset, maybe applying it better than my teenage mindset. But for now, I'm going to focus on this. And regarding the Discord, yeah, you know, I've tried several times to create a new account and ran into the same roadblock as I have with other, with just trying my regular account. You know, it gets to that point where it's asking you to select all the boxes that have bicycles in it or whatever, and it just doesn't recognize me as not being a bot. So it's, I guess the only recourse left is to try and just delete the app, reload it on my phone. I've never used Discord on anything other than this iPhone, so I don't know what to say. But I've got one more phone call from, or I guess it's not really a phone call anymore, is it? A voice message from Aaron NPC. He sent one through my email, which you also can do. Send me a voice file to bigbalboni@gmail.com and I will play it on the air. And it will probably make my show better.
It's about time you showed up.
Hey Rob, Aaron NPC here, contacting you via email message because apparently Spotify has ruined everything for the rest of us. Remember you getting a copy of Cairn at Christmas time, I think, and I was wondering what your thoughts are about that. I too am a very big fan of the Into the Odd combat style, and of course BX, and I had hoped that Cairn, or maybe its upcoming 2E, would be a good smoosh of those two. It's not quite, but it is kind of cool. Later.
Hey Aaron, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I did get Cairn by Yohai Gall about a year ago. I read through it. I liked what I saw for the most part. It didn't do exactly what I was hoping for, I guess, but it's essentially a mashup of Knave and Into the Odd with a smidgen of Electric Bastion Land. And, you know, a little bit of his own innovations and stuff, but for the most part, it's a straight mashup of Knave and Into the Odd. It uses the three stats like Into the Odd does. It has automatic hits like Into the Odd. It has quick character generation like Into the Odd. And then it uses the Knave inventory slot system and pretty much the spell system that they have. There's two aspects that make me, I don't know, hesitate over using it. And primarily, it's because rather than you, it's a classless game like both Knave and Into the Odd are, but it's also a levelless game. So it did away with the level advancement like it has in Into the Odd and Knave, and instead utilizes the concept of wounds from Electric Bastion Land. So your character really only gets better by acquiring equipment, acquiring in-game knowledge and stuff like that, and position, you know, through roleplay or whatever. And by getting more hit points by acquiring wounds. And that's kind of a randomizer. Anytime you are reduced to exactly zero hit points, if I'm remembering correctly, you roll on this table and apply the result. And sometimes you you re-roll your hit points, and maybe it's not that you roll on the table. Maybe it's what kind of hit point damage you took to get to exactly zero. That might be what it is. And then you consult that chart and potentially can go up in hit points and stuff, so your character can get more durable through the acquiring these wounds. Which, I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I still prefer the idea of going up in levels or having more of a skill-based system or something like that, rather than this arbitrary thing where you basically have to get the crap beat out of you to get any better. I don't know, whatever. It's interesting. There are a few innovations in there. I seem to remember that utilizing the idea of fatigue and spells contributing to fatigue and reducing your available inventory slots and stuff was in there. And he had, like, kind of kits to make sort of classes and stuff, but... Yeah, so the other thing about it is the same thing that I run into with Into the Odd, and that's the concept of designing monsters and stuff. I know Yochai Gal does have online some kind of, like, he's converted a bunch of D&D monsters to, like, Cairn stats and stuff. It didn't seem like there was enough differentiation between much of it to really matter a whole lot. I don't know. I just like the idea of using the vast majority of BX and just replacing the combat system that I'm not super satisfied with. So I guess that's more of my design instinct. But I would like to play Cairn at some point. And yeah, I should give it its due and do some kind of sole episode devoted to reviewing it. And I'll plan on doing that sometime in the near future, along with some other games that I've recently acquired. All right, so I listened back to the reply to Jason on those earbuds, and I sounded really muffled. So this reply is trying something different. I've got my phone just propped up on a stand about a foot away from me, so we'll see how that picks up my voice. And if it does a decent job, we'll move on to the solo play test run take one of Into the Box. All right, part one, the cast of characters. I've got a second level cleric, Brother Jerome, leading this little party. He has two comrades, Aetius the fighter and Cogswell the dwarf, and two men-at-arms, Leo the spearsman and Zeno the archer. Brother Jerome has a 10 strength, 12 intelligence, 13 wisdom, 9 dexterity, 15 con, 10 charisma. He has no attack or damage bonuses. His armor is plate and shield, which would give him a 17 AC in OSE, or in Into the Box, a defense of 8 and armor of 3. His weapons are mace and sling. He moves 60 feet or 20 per round. Cure Light Wounds is his only spell. In BX, he has 11 hit points, and Into the Box, he has 9, because the Constitution doesn't affect your hit points and Into the Box. Instead, it makes you more resilient when you are reduced to 0 hit points. All right, Aetius the Fighter has a 14 strength, 11 intelligence, 6 wisdom, 14 dex, 9 charisma, 9 constitution, and 9 charisma. He has chain and shield for an AC of 15, 16 with his dexterity bonus, or in Into the Box, a defense of 9, armor of 2. He wields a sword, dagger, and short bow. His movement rate is 60, or 20 per round, and in both systems, 7 hit points. Cogswell the Dwarf has a 14 strength, 6 intelligence, 12 wisdom, 9 dexterity, 16 con, 12 charisma. He also is wearing chain and shield for an AC of 15, or in Into the Box, a defense of 8, armor of 2. His weapons are hand axe, warhammer, and crossbow. Movement is 60, or 20 feet per round. His hit points are 8 in BX because of his 16 con, or 6 in Into the Box. The two men-at-arms, we'll just say, have 10s for all their attributes. They have 4 hit points in both systems. Leo is wearing, they're both wearing leather and shield, AC of 13 in OSE, or defense of 8 and a armor of 1 in Into the Box. Their movements are 90, 30 feet per round. Their morale would be 7 from Brother Jerome's 10 charisma. Leo is wielding a hand axe and spear, and Zeno, the archer, has a short bow and hand axe. So they are traveling through the cold bogs, a marshy area, in search of The Green Warden Tor, a mysterious green stone ruin in the hills beyond the marshes. And the DM has rolled some wandering monsters in their path. A group of hobgoblins out foraging, a hunting party. There are six hobgoblins. The leader of the hobgoblins has chain and a two-handed sword and longbow. That gives him an AC of 14 and BX, or a defense of 5 and armor of 2 and into the box. The other hobgoblins, in OSC, they give him an AC of 13, so we'll just say they have leather and shield. That would be that equivalent. That would give them a defense of 7 and armor of 1. And I just kind of randomly gave them weapons. They're all carrying scimitars or battle axes for a D8 kind of melee weapon, and a few of them have short bows. They are a hunting party after all, and the others have another hand weapon, like a hand axe or a spear or something. So there are six hobgoblins. Now the first thing we do, because we're utilizing most of the game rules, right, from BX, we're just replacing the combat system more or less, we'd roll for surprise for both of these groups. So the party rolls a 6, so they are not surprised. The hobgoblins roll a 3, so neither one is surprised. Because this is kind of an overgrown marshy area, I'd say that we'll just use the distance for a dungeon. So we'll say it's 2d6 times 10 feet away from one another. So they are 90 feet apart, so a considerable amount. There could be some missile fire before they close in melee. As neither is surprised, we'll say they kind of become aware of each other at the same time. And the marching order for the party will be Cogswell, followed by Aetius the fighter, followed by Zeno the archer, Leo the man-at-arms, and finally Brother Jerome the cleric in the rear. And the hobgoblins are 90 feet away, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. 15. So they are in the clearing. We'll say they've kind of, maybe they've brought down a deer and are cleaning it, field dressing it, when they heard off in the distance the rattle of the men-at-arms approaching, and they were squabbling or loudly cheering their kill or something, and that's how the party became aware of them. So we're not going to roll for reactions, because we want this to be a combat. So the stage is set. This is the encounter, and now we'll move on to what the nitty gritty turns out. Hey everyone, listening back to this, it's kind of boring, so you might want to just cut to the chase and skip ahead 20 minutes or so through this combat run through to hear what the end result was. Otherwise, you can, you know, if you so desire, if you're a completist, you can listen to the whole slog. But, yeah, it's not real exciting. Sorry.
I ask you a final time, will you allow all these humans to pay for your folly?
All right, so I'm going to rule that the hobgoblins have like one sentry that's kind of posted lookout, so he has his bow out. And for the party walking through the wilderness, we'll say that Aetius and Zeno the archer both have their bows with arrows knocked and ready. So we roll initiative. The party, missed my box, gets a 2. The hobgoblins, they get a 1. So the party goes first. So, in There's no morale check. There's no need to check morale for the hobgoblins yet. So it's declare spells and melee movement. So the everyone that doesn't have a missile weapon drawn for the party is going to move forward to try and engage with the, or get closer to engage with the hobgoblins. So in movement, Cogswell moves 20 feet forward, as does Leo and Brother Jerome. In missile attacks, both Aetius and Zeno fire their bows at the sentry who is on the edge of this dry area of land in this L-shape marshy area of battle board I've set up here. So he's the only target that they can really get a good look at, so they're going to fire at him. It's not short range, nor is it long range, so there's no adjustment for range. So Aetius gets, with his dexterity, a +1 bonus. He rolls a 3. Now that's a miss in both BX and into the box. Zeno, the archer, is just a straight d20. He rolls a 13. That is a hit in both systems. Now this hobgoblin, ooh, he's one of the tougher ones. He has 7 hit points. And he takes 4 points of damage. All right, and that would be the same in both systems. Then it would be spellcasting. There's no spellcasting and melee attacks, and there's no melee because they're not in range yet. So on the hobgoblin side, the sentry looses an arrow at the lead character. That would be Cogswell, the dwarf. He's the one presenting the most danger at the moment. And he rolls a 7. That would be a miss in... Oh, wait, he gets +1 for being a hobgoblin of 1+1 hit dice, so that's actually an 8. So that would be a hit in and into the box, because Cogswell's an 8 defense. So the damage is 3, reduced by 2 from his chainmail, so Cogswell would have taken 1 point of damage into the box. In BX, he would not have been hit. The other hobgoblins, they're gonna just grab their melee weapons and move to attack, led by their leader with his two-handed sword. All right, so they're kind of now at the edge of this large clearing. All right, new round. The characters roll a 1 for initiative. The hobgoblin's a 3. So the archer hobgoblin, or wait, the movement comes before missiles. Come on, Rob. All right, so the hobgoblins continue to move. They're still not within range of the party for melee, but they form a little skirmish line in another, like a widening of the path here that leads that the characters are on going south. It widens out into like a 30-foot dry area, and they're now just within 10 feet of the party. So the archer takes another shot at Cogswell the dwarf, rolling a 10. That would be a miss in BX, but a hit into the box. For 1 point of damage, he shrugs it off as his chainmail protects him from the arrow. Let's see. So the party still has 2 archers. They fire again at the at the hobgoblin sentry. A 15 and a 9. The 15 would be a hit in both systems. The 9 is a miss in... the 9 is a hit in Into the Box. So, in BX, 7, he'd be dead. Or, I'm sorry, 1, he is not dead. In Into the Box, a 7, he would be dead because he'd already taken damage. All right. And technically, that might trigger a morale check. That's one of the things where this Into the Box might make things a little bit different. Actually, so I don't know. Interesting. I didn't consider morale at the beginning. All right, so in movement, Cogswell moves up to engage the Hobgoblin leader. Leo moves up behind him and will use his spear from a second rank. And Jerome moves up to stand side by side with Cogswell. They are now within range. So I'm going to say both sides can attack in the melee phase. The Hobgoblins had won the initiative, so they take their attacks first. So the leader with his two-handed sword tries to lop off Cogswell's head. He rolls a 17, which is modified to an 18. That's a hit in both systems. So in BX, Cogswell has 8 hit points, and he takes 5. That would leave him with 3. That same five hit points would bring him down to 0 into the box, which doesn't force him to make any constitution check yet, but any further damage will be applied directly to his con, and he would have to then roll a 20-sider below his constitution to continue fighting. Otherwise, he'd go down. All right, the other Hobgoblin across from Brother Jerome has a scimitar. He takes a swipe at Jerome and rolls a 14. That would be a miss in BX, but a hit in Into the Box for a D8 of damage, 6 points. That would be reduced by 3 from his plate mail, so he would take 3 hit points of damage, being down to 6 and into the odd, or into the box, however you want to call it. All right, the party can now return attacks. Cogswell attacks the leader, rolls a 12, modified by plus 1 for his strength, so a 13. That would be a miss of his AC of 14 in BX, but that is definitely a hit in Into the Box. His Warhammer doing a D6 plus 1 for his strength. Whoa! 7 points. So in BX, he is unharmed, but in Into the Box, he is... hit for 7, leaving him with 2 hit points. Alright, Brother Jerome then tries to lower the boom with his mace to the face. 13, that's a hit in either system for 1 point of damage. And this Hobgoblin has 4 hit points, so he's down to 3 in both systems. And finally, Leo, in the second rank, attacks with his spear, the leader, and rolls a 17. That is a hit in both systems. Oh, you know what? I forgot to deduct in Into the Box. I forgot to deduct the 2 points that his armor protected him with. Likewise, the Hobgoblins that, well, the one would still be dead. But the 1 point that Brother Jerome had done would have been nullified by the leather armor they're wearing. So the leader's actually at 4 hit points. All right, so Leo's spear does 3 points, which is reduced to 1 from the armor. All right. What do the... Oh, they have scimitars. Okay. New round. The party gets a 5. The hobgoblins a 6. These crafty hobgoblins. All right, so the sentry takes a shot this time at one of the other archers. He will randomly go for Aetius. He rolls an 18. That's a hit in either system. 3 points of damage to Aetius in BX. He'd be down to 4 hit points. And into the box, his chain would protect him for 2. So he would only have taken 1 hit point of damage. And then in melee, or in movement, this one hobgoblin will move up to flank Cogswell. And the other two are going to splash off into the shallows and try to start getting positioned to try and move around this bottleneck. All right. And then the ones in range attack. So one with a battle axe attacks Brother Jerome. An 11 is a hit in into the box for 3 points of damage. That's nullified by his plate mail. The leader attacks Cogswell, an 18, modified to a 19. We haven't had any criticals yet, ignoring armor. But that 18 is a hit, and a d10 of damage from the two-handed sword, 5 points. That is reduced down to 3 for Cogswell's chainmail. So he is now at negative 3 hit points, which means he needs to make a con check. His con is 16, but it's been brought down to 13. So he needs to roll below that. He rolls a 16. So an into the box, Cogswell would be down. And in BX, he'd also be down. How about that? All right. So no difference. And that second hobgoblin who flanked him, I guess, loses his attack. All right. So the party side, things are looking a little bit more grim here. Leo is in range with his spear, so he tries to poke that hobgoblin that is pulling the flanking maneuver. Wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Aetius, seeing his comrades starting to get in trouble, throws down... Well, wait a minute, he could still take shots at some of these hobgoblins. He's going to take a shot at one of the hobgoblins that's splashing through the water trying to get around. And he rolls a 8, which would be a miss in BX, but a hit into the box. This is hobgoblin number 2. He does 6 points of damage, which, even after his being reduced by 1, is more than his 4 hit points. So an into the box, that hobgoblin would be down. In BX, that would be a miss, so he'd be fine. And then Zeno also will fire at the other hobgoblin flank splashing through the water on the west side. A 15. That is a hit in either system. He does 3 points of damage. This particular hobgoblin has 7 hit points. It's a tough one. So he would have taken 3 in BX and... Or 4 in BX and... No, 3 in BX, 2 and into the box. Okay, got it. All right. New round. The party is in a rather desperate situation here. But, So the party gets a 5, the hobgoblins get a 1. The hobgoblins would have to make a morale check here because they, and into the box, because they have lost. They roll a 7, so they have a morale of 8, so nothing changed. All right, so the party wins initiative. Aetius and Zeno take their shots at the hobgoblins they can target that are... Well, wait, Aetius is going to move up. He throws down his bow, drawing his sword as he comes. And Zeno fires again at the hobgoblin, splashing through the water that he damaged before. He rolls a 9. That would be a miss in BX, but a hit and into the box for 6 points of damage, reduced by his leather. He would be down and into the box. So, and into the box, there'd be 2 hobgoblins down. In BX, both of those hobgoblins would still be up. All right. And then in melee, Leo attacks hobgoblin number 3. He rolls a 7. That would be a miss in BX, but a hit and into the box. He does 5 points of damage with his spear. That would be reduced by, and this is hobgoblin number 3. He only has 3 hit points. He's gone and into the box. In BX, he would still be up. And Jerome tries to nail hobgoblin number 6, who's in front of him. He rolls a 5. That would be a miss in both systems. All right, that's it for the players, or for the party. Now the hobgoblins in into the box are down to 3 hobgoblins. So they're going to have to make another morale check next round for sure, because they're half their numbers. But at least for this round, they continue to press their attack. The leader steps up and takes a swing with his two-handed sword at Leo and rolls an 8. Plus 1 for his hit die is a 9. That is a miss in BX, but a hit in into the box for a d10 of damage. Only 3. Leo is Leo the Lucky. His leather would reduce it down to 2 points in into the box. All right. And then the hobgoblin across from Brother Jerome, number 6, takes a shot, a 14. That would be a miss in BX for his plate and shield, but a hit in into the box. With his scimitar, he does 6 points of damage, reduced by 3 for the plate mail. So that would bring Brother Jerome from 6 down to 3 and into the box for damage. In BX, he's still unharmed with 11 hit points. So it seems so far, at least with these rolls, that the into-the-box combat system is scoring more hits as it's intended, and kind of potentially speeding up the combat. All right, so that would be the end of the... Oh, the one hobgoblin sentry never took his bow shot, so he's going to fire at 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 Zeno the Archer. A 17. That is a hit in both systems, doing 1 point of damage. So it would actually be nullified and into the box from the leather armor, but would do one in BX. All right, new round. So the party gets a six, and the hobgoblins a deuce. So the hobgoblins in BX, they'd still all be up, I believe. Maybe there was there one that would be dead? No, I think they'd still all be up. But into the box, they'd be down three, so down to half their numbers. So they'd have to make a second morale check. This time they roll a 10. So into the box, these guys would all either surrender or attempt to disengage and retreat. The hobgoblins move more quickly, so we'll give Leo and Jerome parting shots as they disengage. Jerome karangs one with his mace, doing 4 points of damage to number six. That would finish him. But the leader escapes from Leo's spear thrust. There'd be an exchange of missile fire between the sentries. The hobgoblin broke morale too, so he just flees. And Zeno gets an arrow shot, a four, missing. So the aftermath, in the BX, the fight would still be going on. And things, let's see, in BX, Cogswell would be down to exactly zero hit points. Brother Jerome would be unharmed. Atius is down to four hit points, six and into the odd. In BX, Leo is unharmed, and Zeno has taken 1 point of damage. And into the box, Leo has taken 2 points of damage, Zeno none. So if this fight was still going on, I'd say it's kind of advantage hobgoblins. But into the box, because there were casualties, their morale broke. And the hobgoblins running off into the marshes, leaving their kill behind, their stag. The party would regroup. Brother Jerome could cast his Cure Light Wounds on Cogswell, healing him one constitution point. But also bringing him around. He's still at zero hit points, but he is able to move around again. So they discover the kill. They check the bodies of the hobgoblins for any treasure, usable weapons and armor and stuff. And they take a rest. It would take 30 minutes of rest, and who knows, maybe the hobgoblins would run back to their lair, whether that's the Green Warden Tor or some other complex, and alert the rest of their band, and maybe they'd launch another foray and try to deal with the party. So that could happen. But in the meantime, the party would lick their wounds, taking a rest. Atius would recover a hit die. He's down one hit point and into the odd, so he would be be he would be back to his normal 7 hit points, and he never took any constitution damage. Brother Jerome would recover a D6. He'd recover 2 hit points. He'd be back up to 5. Leo would heal a D4. So he'd be back to normal. So after some recovery, in BX, Cogswell would be, well, at 0 hit points, it depends on what you do. In classic OSE, Cogswell would be dead. In my system, you can go to negative your level and still be alive. So he could go to -1 and still be alive. So that Cure Light Wounds would have actually done a D6 plus 1. It would have brought him back to 4 hit points. So he'd be at 4 hit points and alive in my game from that Cure Light Wounds from Brother Jerome. So the party in either my house rules of BX or in Into the Box would be whole. But the whole combat system was kind of going against the party in BX and in Into the Box. It went their way and the Hobgoblin morale broke. So there you go. There's playtest 1. I hope it wasn't too boring. It's, oh my God, 27 minutes. I'm sorry. So I won't do another one, but so the party will eventually find the Green Warden Tor. And what will they find there? Another combat encounter. All right. Thanks for listening. And until I talk to you again, don't go down in a heap.